Hi FM, 101.9 megahertz of life.
Speaking about better together, well, 100,000 Israelis thought that it was much better together. They got together on a Saturday evening. Well, the weather was better than last week, where there was only 80,000, but it was in the pouring rain. 100,000, some estimates saying even more people than that getting together. The good news is that it was peaceful and that there was no attempt, it would seem, to curtail the protest. But what does this mean? Who were the protesters? What is? Do they have a united view? And how do we see this playing out? Lahav Harkov, senior contributing editor, and a diplomatic correspondent of the Jerusalem Post. Lahav, good morning. How are you?
Great. How are you? Good morning.
Good morning. Great to chat to you. So it's massive. The photos of 100,000 people getting together. I recall driving to Tel Aviv where you had a fair number of people in the streets a couple of years back protesting against Netanyahu. But this is a totally different ballgame, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a lot. I would say some of the biggest protest movements that we remember, whether it was wanting Golda Meir to resign after the Yom Kippur War during the first Lebanon War, or even in 2011, there were what were called the social justice protests, which was mainly about the cost of living. They had actually closer to 500,000 people in those protests.
Wow, wow.
So this protest is huge, so we still have a way to go. Earth-shattering.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay, what is the primary motivator here?
So I think when these protests started out, it was more like a general protest against this government, which is it's the first time in like 30 years that Israel has had a homogeneously right-wing government. And so people say it's the most right-wing government ever in Israel's history, which I think is fairly accurate. And so it was generally opposing some of the very socially conservative ideas that some of the coalition partners have and their policies. But I think that it's become more focused specifically on judicial reform policies that this government wants to promote. Israel has a very highly activist court, and over the past 20 years or so, it's become a very contentious issue whether that's the way a court should operate, especially because Israel doesn't have a constitution. So it's and there is no law that really sets out in what ways the court should be checking the power of the government. So this government wants to pass a law like that, but the Israeli left and the center feel that it goes too far in sort of checking the power of the court.
To what extent does the Supreme Court actually hold its own responsibility for the position in which it finds itself?
Entirely holds this is the responsibility. I mean, you could argue that the people who are on the court now weren't on the court when it changed the way it behaves. But about 30 years ago, Israel passed laws pertaining to individual rights. And the court decided that those laws would be treated like a constitution such that if new laws were passed that contradict those laws, then they could be struck down. And it was something that the court just started doing. There wasn't any law or agreement or anything that's how it should work. That doesn't mean that it's not how it should work necessarily, right? But the court definitely holds the responsibility for it in that way.
And in fact, finding a balance is quite difficult for the Supreme Court, especially because it doesn't seem to be that balanced.
Right. Well, so there's the issue that, right, there's this judicial activism that came about in the past 30 years or
so. Right.
And then the court is very self-selecting. So there's a judicial selection committee that decides who the Supreme Court justices are. And it, until very recently, and one could argue that it remains this way, the judges themselves, the Supreme Court judges themselves, had the decisive vote over who would join their ranks. So there have been some attempts over the years to make it a little more even-handed in terms of that there are politicians on the committee that they they shouldn't just be there for, you know, decoration, that they should really have a say. But overall, the judges have had a very big influence on who else gets to become a judge, and then they have a tendency to pick very activist judges that continue in that same sort of vein, that same idea of what right. the judiciary should do.
So shouldn't that actually be where the reform is in
that,
how?
So that's one of the reforms. Mm. And it's see, part of the issue with the judicial reform, because there are across the political spectrum in Israel, there are people who think that there needs to be some kind of reform, right? But the sense that the reforms, people who say support reform in principle but don't support this government's proposed reform, say it just goes too far. So basically, they want to change one of the ways that the judges are selected, but they're going to stack the committee so that like 3/4 of the committee are politicians or people chosen by politicians.
Right. So the picture that you're painting is in essence that some reform is needed. The position that Israel is finding in itself with this conflict between politics and the judiciary is one that probably needs to be addressed, but there doesn't seem to be a balanced way, and that, I guess, is what's making people very nervous.
I think there could be a balanced way. I think that again, this is my personal opinion of it, sure. But I think that taken each element of the reform taken on its own could be good, or at least like the direction of something good. But all of them put together go very, very far. Now, this process has only begun, and I actually. You know, when you start a legislative process, the bill almost never ends up exactly the way it started. And so I think there is a good chance that it will be moderated. And there was a report last night that Netanyahu himself said that, you know, he really does not think that the real bill will go as far as the proposal. So, you know, he said it in private, not in public, because it's not what his political base wants
to hear.
Of course. But I think there's a chance that that's true. But part of it is that the opposition has to get it together. Right now, they are not going to the legislative meetings. They're boycotting the legislative meetings about this bill.
Well, that's very mature.
Right, exactly. Like
completely ridiculous.
I fully support everyone's right to protest, and that's the way for the general public to get its voice heard, right? But the actual members of Knesset should be showing up to the meeting.
Absolutely.
And that's how they can have an influence.
That's their job. They can't be sulking. Sulking is not necessarily the right way forward. Very, very interesting, and certainly a conversation that we'll be continuing to have. Lahav Harkov, senior contributing editor and diplomatic correspondent at the Jerusalem Post. 8:43. Good morning.